Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started.
What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan. And today we are here with Cole Gordon, which, funny story, I've actually bought his stuff before in the past. He ended up getting referred over to me. Super awesome. Like, well, of course I've got to interview him. I've used his stuff. So me interviewing him is just a referral in and of itself. So go buy his crap, right? That's what I'm going to say right here. Closers.io. Make sure you guys check it out. But Cole, first off, say what's up to everybody and we'll hop in, man.
What's up, man? Happy to be here and happy to reconnect with you.
Yeah, it's awesome to get this stuff going. So guys, just to give you a little bit of, I don't like reading people's bio, but it's been fun to watch Cole's journey as he's been scaling this company because he obviously knows how to do sales, knows how to do it well. You know, he scaled over $10 million in the coaching consulting space, basically helping train people on how to do sales and then placing them with salespeople. And you know, Cole, in our pre-conversation, we're like, well, what could be the best use of our time here? You know, we've got 20 to 30 minutes. We got to keep it short and sweet. And you mentioned discussing like how you actually interview sales guys. And that is something that is very interesting to me because when we first started on our sales journey, we were using another company. I interviewed like 20 some odd guys and I came out the other end going, well, those all sucked, you know, didn't end up hiring a single one. So I'm kind of curious your thought process and how you guys go about landing those.
Right. So we're going to skip where to find them. But then once you find them, how do you sort from the ones that are good versus the ones that can't close the barn door? Well, you're looking for three qualities, okay, in a sales rep, right? A superstar sales rep. So number one, you're looking for specialized knowledge. So Naval Ravikant, who's a billionaire, he founded AngelList, says specialized knowledge is the knowledge that only can come from doing. You can't get it from a textbook. You can't read it from a book. It can actually only come from the experience of doing. Therefore, well, that's why it's called specialized. So that's a fancy way of saying they have to have like experience or their track record. Okay. So that's quality number one. Quality number two is industry acumen. So every single industry speaks a different language, right? So the language you might speak in the car sales industry is different from the solar industry, which is different from insurance, which is different from real estate, which is different from high ticket coaching, right? You wouldn't try to sell a $5 million luxury high-end real estate home with the same language you would sell insurance. That doesn't mean like there's fundamentals in sales that go across all industries. You know what I mean? But what it does mean is that there's nuances. There's an acumen and kind of a language. So the second quality we look for is how well can the rep actually speak the language of that industry? Okay. So for instance, you might take the top performer in a car sales, used car sales lot. He's like amazing. He's a stud. Can sell anything to anybody when it comes to used car sales. But if you take him and now he's selling weight loss to women over 40 who have this very specific hormone issue with this nutritional therapy coaching that helps them mitigate that, he's probably not going to do very good, right? Because he can't really speak the language of the industry of that market and the pains they're experiencing, right? So think about industry acumen as like, does the prospect perceive them to be inside of the tribe or outside of the tribe based on how they're speaking about the problem and the language they're using? Like, do they get it? Like, do they get the industry? The third thing is buy-in. So the third thing is buy-in to the mission, vision, and values, the product and the market. Okay. So in terms of buy-in to the product and the market, they have to have conviction and buy-in into the product because they're selling the product. They have to have conviction and buy-in into the market and resonate with the market because they're selling the market. That's going to be who they're talking to all day. That's very kind of similar to industry acumen. And then vision, mission, and values. Think about it like you're, you know, getting on one of those 1700 century boats and you're sailing across like the Atlantic Ocean. The vision is the challenging destination you're all headed towards on the boat. The mission is why you're headed to that destination. And then the values is how you're going to interact with each other on the journey to that destination, okay? The vision is where, mission is why, and the values is how we're going to interact. It's the minimal, tolerable, acceptable behavior, okay? So they have to be bought in. Like if they're going to come onto our boat and we're going to go sailing across that, you know, to that challenging destination, they have to be bought in on the mission, vision, and values, right? I used to think that was kind of like some BS-y stuff. It's actually really, really important. You can get away with it when you're smaller, but as you get bigger, you get, you know, couple, you know, 100 employees or a couple hundred employees, definitely really, really matters because you need everybody to keep with the boat example, rowing in the same direction. Okay. So
love it.
That being said, how do we actually elicit those things? Like, how do we find those things in the interview process? Well, here's what we do to interview sales reps. This is what I do internally for my company, but also, you know, what we do on behalf of our clients when we do recruit for them is number one, they fill out an application or they see an ad, right? After they see an ad, that could be, you know, a variety of different sources. They fill out an application. After they fill out an application, we'll move them to a group interview. The group interview is very, very important because we can interview multiple at one time. Duh. But the reason why that is important is because the human brain can only understand the differences. Like, we conceptualize a lot of things through comparison, right? You only know what black is if you know what white is. You only know what light is if you know what dark is. You only know what good is if you know what bad is, right? So the human brain has to, when we can compare, it's easier for us to understand. When you can get somebody on a Zoom call and you have 10 sales reps on gallery view on Zoom and you can see them all and how they're interacting, then it's very, very easy to narrow in. Boom, those are the three I want. Does it make sense? So that is very, very key. One of our favorite questions to ask on that group interview at the very, very end is, you can't say yourself, but if you were to pick somebody else to hire for this role on this interview, who would you pick? Right? And they always pick the best one. It's a really, really good one you can use for group interviews. So we'll do a group interview. Then we move to a screening interview, 30 minutes. That's where we really get the mean, you know, the group interview is just kind of a, that's really the screening interview, right? The screening interview is what we call it, but essentially that is kind of more of the deep dive formal interview. Right. Then what we'll do after that is, if it's internally for our company, we'll move it to like a mock call to where we can see how they do there. And then we'll also do a final interview they do with another person in the company, like another executive, just to kind of check out how they do. And then we do a scorecard interview, which is like, we kind of go through their scorecard and create clear agreements of what their KPIs are going to be. So what does that screening interview process look like? Okay. I want to break it down. There's an introduction. Then we go over work history. And then after that, what we do, it's called CBBI questions. We'll talk about what that is in a second. Then we go through inputs. Then we go through attitude. And then we go through career fit. Okay. So introduction, very, very simple. Like, what brought you onto the call? What interested you about this position? We're just kind of seeing, like, you know, why are we here in a sense, and just kind of getting our footing. Work history. What you want to do is you want to outline the last three positions they've done, and you want to understand what they did in that position. What did they accomplish? What were their KPIs? How did their performance measure up to their KPIs? And, you know, you want to understand those metrics in sales. You're going to want to understand, okay, like, how many, you know, what was your quota? How many leads were you getting? How many sales were you doing? You know, all that stuff, right? Very, very simple. Most people don't struggle with that. One of the key things here, and this is also pretty basic in interviewing, is we want to look at why they left the position to go to the next position. So we want to go, we want to look for this upward spiral of momentum, you know, at least a lateral move. We don't want to look for any downward moves, but upward spiral, like upward mobility in their trajectory, is kind of what we want to look for. Now, a great question you can ask is, if you were in real estate and now you left that and you're getting into high ticket, you might say, you know, so and how long are you doing real estate for? Oh, I was doing it for 3 years. Oh, okay, cool. So you're doing it for 3 years. And I mean, you were fairly successful. I guess, like, you know, what's the reason you wanted to transition all of a sudden to high ticket though? Like, why, you know, what's the biggest reason you wanted to transition out of that and get into something like this? They say whatever the reason is. And then after that, you say, you know, I guess that makes sense. Is there any other reason you wanted to transition out of that now, though? That's called the any other reason question. And when you do that, people have two reasons. They have the reason that sounds good and the real reason, right? So a lot of people, it's like, they'll say something that sounds good. But when you kind of like ask that any other reason question, they'll tell you the real reason. They'll be like, oh, I just hated my boss, you know? So that's the work history section. The next section, CBBI questions. So CBBI is questions that are based on, essentially, they're competency-based behavioral interview questions. They're questions that you ask to elicit a competency that the candidate has based on something they've already done. Okay? So the contrary to these is what's called situational-based questions. That is like, hey, so, you know, if we hired you as our marketing director, how would you attack this position in the next 90 days? The issue with that question is, while it's not necessarily a bad question, like, I don't think there's, you shouldn't use those in the interview process. But the issue with that is that you're assuming what they're saying they're going to do, they can actually do. And that's actually what they will do, let alone what they've done in the past, right? CBBI really assesses what they've done in the past. You know, Charlie Munger says if he's assessing a CEO or a manager for his companies, what he wants to look at is not what they're projecting, but what they've actually already done, right? You know, previous performance or track records is the biggest indicator of future performance. So competency-based interview questions, they all start with, tell me a specific time when, right? So you think about the competency you're asking for, and then you ask questions. I'll give you an example. So tell me about two specific instances in which you won a deal in sales due to an extreme proactive sales effort. Walk me through that deal and what happened. Okay. You see how when I ask that, you can't fake the answer to that question. You have to tell me an experience that demonstrates the competency. Does that make sense? So I'll ask a series of those. If you think about it, you think of all the competencies you want the candidates to have, and then you bam, 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 you ask a question on all those. The next section is inputs. Okay. Your inputs dictate your outputs. If you want a great body, you put in great food and you diet and exercise and you would get a better body, right? If you want to think well and create well and you know, really have a very high quality of thinking or high quality of output in terms of content or, you know, performance or whatever it is, you need to put in the right information. Okay. So your inputs dictate your outputs. I want to see what are their favorite sales books? What sales mentors or coaches or have they had? What sales programs have they had? Have they invested in themselves? Who's influenced their sales philosophy the most? All of those things, right? And that is, I cannot stress how big that is. That's probably the easiest and like simplest indicator. And here's the thing is that everybody who was great stood on the shoulder of giants. You know, a lot of people think Einstein was a genius, but he was heavily influenced by Newton, and Newton was heavily influenced by Galileo. If you look at, you know, I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and all the best black belts in the world were taught by a black belt that came before them, and then one that came before them, and then one that came before them, you know? And if you kind of like look at it like a family tree, it all leads up to like very, very few people at the top who have a lot of descendants. So inputs are great. And then the last two is attitude and career fit. Those ones are pretty basic. Attitude is just assessing internal versus external locus of control. So what we want to do there is you want to ask a few questions to see if they believe in self-agency or if they're a victim. And then career fit is the same way when you're selling somebody over the phones, you want to position your offer as the bridge between their current desired situation. Well, with career fit, we want to make sure the position is essentially the bridge between the candidate's current desired situation. So we ask some questions to elicit that. I don't know if we have time to go into those if people don't want, but that is kind
of- I'd love to dive into them, but you're killing
interview process. And you can use that to hire an executive for your company, a sales rep, et cetera, a closer. You can use that to hire an operations person, a media buyer. I mean, anything and everything that you could, that I hire ever for or that I interview for, I always use that process.
Yeah. Well, and first off, thank you for sharing that, because I think that gives people some solid, actionable advice they can take out, which is obviously our main goal here, is giving them real steps to go implement. So I appreciate you sharing that, Cole. If we had all day, I would say let's dive into those questions and get deep into them. But I am kind of curious for you, just kind of changing the conversational direction a little bit, but what's got you excited right now? Like, what's next for you guys and what you're doing with Closers.io?
Well, I mean, we've been kind of stuck at about $2.5 million a month cash for, you know, over a half year now. And so, yeah, I mean, the big thing that's exciting for us is finding new ways to break through that plateau. And a lot of that is on the back of trying to innovate and create new things with marketing. So, you know, we're excited to pursue that. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to be launching new products or creating new front-end offers or what it's going to be, but, you know, that's what I spend most of my time thinking about.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm curious with you, like, what's kind of your motivation when it comes to that? Because I know for myself, we hit a certain income level where I was like, I don't need to make any more money. You know, you pass multiple seven figures, it just kind of starts to be like more money, you know? And right. my question is like, what's motivating you to get out there? I mean, you guys have a pretty stellar community, and I'm like, I'm sure that's probably a motivational factor for you guys, but.
Well, there's a couple things. You know, one, I will say I am still pretty money motivated, and not in a, you know, a super negative way or anything, but yeah. I would say like I still do have like a degree of like, even though realistically, like I'm probably financially free, I don't feel that way. right? So maybe that's something I need to work on. But I do feel like I have a number in mind that when I get there, I will feel pretty damn financially free. So there's that. But beyond that, especially with the company, you know, I know for me personally, I just want to, you know, try to reach my potential and do new things and challenge myself. And I enjoy working, right? So yeah, all of those things. And then beyond that, you know, I also really do feel like the services that we provide and the training we offer, both on the business side and on the sales side, is really the best out there. Like, I really do feel like it is, on both sides, the best training that's available. And I feel like I need to be putting it out there in some ways, because essentially I feel like it needs to set the bar in terms of what's the standard in the industry. So yeah. I would say those are the main reasons.
Well, and honestly, like, I know you're not digging for this, but I can honestly say that you guys have done that a lot, because we've hired a lot of sales, you know, programs. We've hired a lot of sales guys. I've never had better prepared people come from anywhere but your program. But then secondly, they're the ones who've lasted the longest, because they're so bought into our mission, which has been really cool. I'll happily record you guys a testimonial if you want. But awesome. But what I can tell you guys, anybody listening to this show, is that, you know, kind of touched on it. You know, we were talking about how to interview salespeople, but their company is rock solid if you guys are looking for salespeople. I mean, you guys helped us land the guy who's now become our sales leader, sales trainer. Awesome. The guy's rock solid. But when it comes to mission and that next step, I think you guys have set the bar, and I'm glad that you're continuing to pursue that, because I think a lot of people think you can set the bar and walk away, but, you know, look at Elon Musk, right? I think he's kind of the ideal for everybody pointing as far as like the guy who sets the bar high, and that guy constantly raises it. I mean, you couldn't catch him if you wanted to, right? I think you guys are doing that right now.
Dude, I appreciate that. So appreciate it a lot, man.
Yeah, no problem. So I do want to ask you one final question before we wrap up the interview, man. So I kind of want to know that pivotal point for you where you're like, you realize that sales wasn't just a thing for you, like a career for you. It was like a calling for you, because you've obviously done well yourself with it. But when did you figure that out for yourself?
Yeah, just for sales. So, you know, I got into sales because my first business didn't work out. And I always thought it was going to be something I did to make money and build a skill until I wanted to start my next business. And so, because of that, I was working on sales and I kind of just was dabbling. And, you know, I was doing a little e-commerce thing on the side and selling to make money and, you know, whatever. And then I kind of got to the point where it was interesting. You know, we had the sales manager and this person got let go. And we kind of had this period of time where we had no managers. And during that time, I got access to this program from Kevin Nations. And it was about high ticket selling. You know, now this would be referred to as a really old school program. It's called Rapid Selling. And, you know, I went through it and applied some stuff. You know, I definitely did use all of it. But I remember as I was going through it and I was applying things and it was working, and then I was going through another course, I kind of just had this evolution of like, man, like, I'm getting really good at this. Yeah. And I started to think like, what would happen if I just went all in on just this, you know, because I knew I could max this out further. I was making like 10K a month at the time. I knew I could make 30 or 40.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know. Now I've seen freaking closers make 100, but I knew I could make at least 30 to 40. I didn't even know 100 was possible at the time. And so I kind of just was like, man, I'm going to go tunnel vision and just really commit to this. And then when I left that company and then I went to some other companies, eventually went to Traffic and Funnels, like then it was just such a high intensity environment and opportunity to where, I mean, I had to be full time. Like there was no like, oh, you're going to do this little e-commerce thing on the side. So that was really what also helped me burn the bridges, focus on getting the best as I could get. And, you know, I did. I really stuck with the sales thing until I just felt like I wasn't growing. Like that was the biggest thing.
Yeah. See, that's awesome. You know, it's funny because I ask that question a lot. I like to know, like, it's the origin story, right? And it's so interesting because that's the same thing that happened to me where I never thought podcasting would be my thing. You know, I'd listened to podcasts a lot. I finally decided to start one, and then ours did well. And people are like, how the heck are you doing that? I'm like, I didn't realize it was doing that well, to be honest with you. And then we just backtracked it and copied it. It's the same thing as music. You're like, well, why don't I just tunnel vision it and become the best? Because obviously it's a skill I've developed, you know? And right. So I think that's so cool that your story mirrors that of every other successful person we interview. So thank you for sharing that. But let me ask you one final question just to wrap up the interview. So if you could give our people one actionable step to go apply today so they could become more successful in sales, what would that be?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can go back and listen to the part, maybe rewind, listen to the part where I talked about the interview process, but very, very two key things. Number one, group interviews work really well. So do that. And they're not complicated. Just get them all in there, interview them, and just like, you'll see what I mean. It's like, you just need to ask them a few basic questions and you'll start to see who the real talent is. Number two, and you could do this on the group interviews or you could do a one-on-one interviews, ask about their inputs. That's a big, big indicator. Inputs equal the outputs. So use those two things. And then of course, you know, if you want to learn more about what we do, closers.io is our website.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you've learned anything from this or any other episode, make sure you rate it and share it with another entrepreneur it could help. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the flip side.